Welcome to the ThinkComputer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 138. Of course, this episode is brought to you by Amazon. As always, go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and purchase your items that way. When you do that, it kicks a little bit of money back to us, not a whole lot. Doesn't cost you anything, but it's one way that you can help us out. I mean, the podcast is free. The website is free. It's something we do for you, and this helps us out, you know, because it's not free for us to put on. So with us today, as always, is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? It's Tuesday, you know?
It's Tuesday.
Not halfway through the week, but we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a good day to talk about tech. There's a lot of definitely cool stuff going on. And we had some really good reviews this week, which we'll jump right into. And we have three pretty cool products here. And the first one that we're going to talk about today is Corsair's K63 wireless mechanical keyboard and the accompanying lap board that comes with it. You can buy them as a package deal together with the keyboard and the lap board, or you can buy them completely separately. You actually don't save any money by bundling them. So if you,
really?
You know, you like, yeah. At least on Amazon.
Okay.
There's a $10 difference on like the MSRP of Corsair's website, but on Amazon, They're exactly the same price.
All right, then.
Yeah. So this keyboard was launched as part of Corsair's Unplug and Play initiative, which is basically wireless gaming with all the goodies that you want with wireless products and the normal gaming products. So you're going to get the mechanical switches, you're going to get all that kind of stuff you want. And Corsair has launched a bunch of products for this initiative. And this is the keyboard, the first keyboard. And it is a 10 keyless keyboard, which is a great form factor for taking to LAN parties, for moving around. It's just small, compact. And it has Cherry MX red switches. So these are, you know, official Cherry switches, which we all know and love. The red is, of course, extremely popular when it comes to gamers. And it's wireless. It is 2.4 gigahertz wireless technology, which means it has a 1 ms response time, which honestly, I've been using this. It's sitting in front of me now. I cannot tell the difference between using this and using a wired mechanical keyboard from Corsair or any other brand.
No noticeable lag whatsoever.
No lag whatsoever.
Nice.
It just works really great. It's like flawless almost. It works awesome. The keyboard feels really good. It's the same design that we've seen from Corsair. So the keyboard, there's not a whole lot to talk about with this keyboard because as far as design wise, because we know this design from Corsair, we know what it looks like. The one drawback that some people might not like is that it does not have RGBs. So you only get the blue backlighting, which is fine for me. That's not a big deal for me. I do think that in this day and age, you need backlighting on a gaming keyboard. It's just important.
Yeah, pretty much.
But RGB, it's give or take. And I think that has a lot to do with battery life on this too. So this is completely rechargeable via the USB connection that's on it. And you can use it via USB, so if you forget and you want to get some gaming in, you can just plug it in, use it as a normal wired keyboard. It's lasted me all day, pretty much. It pretty much lasts all day while illuminated, which is good. So at the end of the night or end of the day, you just plug it in, and then in the morning you can unplug and kind of do what you want with it.
Nice. So what would you say all day is, though, in hours?
You know, I kind of like leave it. It does have an auto shutdown, but I like, right, you know, literally,
I mean,
probably
that's part of the time, the use time.
6 to 8 hours completely illuminated with 100% brightness on the on the illumination. They do say it will last longer with like 50%. And then if you have illumination off, they say 75 hours.
That's legit.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's good for an all day wireless experience, I would say, for most people. It does have some multimedia keys and some other functions, but again, same design. But the cool thing about this is that it has the accompanying lap board, which, is basically made for gaming in the living room. And I know a ton of people are gaming in the living room, or they have the Steam Connect box
Steam Link
thing? Steam Link, yeah. Yes. Steam Link or whatever it may be. And, you know, if you are a PC gamer and you're gaming in the living room, you want to use a keyboard and mouse, especially I would say FPS people. You really want to use a keyboard and mouse. So this allows you to do that. It is a lap board that's designed specifically for this keyboard. So it only fits this keyboard, but the keyboard goes in flawlessly. You basically slide it in and lock it into place. It takes 2 seconds to do. It's not one of those ones that's complicated. You have to like connect different things and all of that. It slides right in, super easy. And then you have a little mouse pad that's on the right side, and that can be used with one of Corsair's wireless mice or another wireless mouse you want to use, or a wired one if you want to. But I think it's a great little companion for this. And what's great about this too is that not only does this support the 2.4 gigahertz super fast connection, but it does also support Bluetooth mode. So if you have another device that has Bluetooth and you're not going to be using this for gaming specifically, you could be using this for typing or whatever, you can connect it to that, just as easily.
So it's not limited.
Yeah, so it's not limited in that way. And
you try it with your phone?
I did not try it with my phone. But you could. I mean, it's Bluetooth keyboard. The lap board has memory foam on the bottom. It's super comfortable. It gives you that, that nice feel that you want.
It was nice. I can back that up.
Yeah. It's a good combo. And the biggest thing for me is that using this wirelessly, there's no difference between this and a wired keyboard in all of my testing. And I tested, I played games with this, and then I switched over to a wired keyboard. No difference. I wasn't missing strokes, or didn't feel like there was any lag or anything like that.
Perfect.
And that, for all you security people out there, that wireless transfer is 128-bit AES encrypted as well.
Wow.
Point to point. So seems a bit unnecessary. You won't have anybody worrying. You don't have to worry about somebody eavesdropping wirelessly into picking up your keystrokes.
Yeah, I guess in like a dorm or something, that is something you could be concerned about. Or a hotel room, maybe, or something.
Yeah, just in general. I mean, it's nice that they kind of,
it's not something I would have thought of, honestly.
Yeah, so the keyboard is $106.95, and if you want to bundle it with the lap board together, it's $165.59, and the lap board itself is $59. So,
same price.
Yeah. So,
is the keyboard itself worth $106.95 by itself? I think that's the biggest question. Because it really is two separate products.
Yeah, so I believe that it is. One, wireless, right? That's a big deal. And the it's not a Bluetooth keyboard, right? Wireless technology that uses their dongle, it's not, know. And again, that's encrypted. So you have that wireless transfer and all that. You have the quality of a Corsair keyboard, which if you've never used a Corsair keyboard, they are one of the best in terms of quality. Feels heavy, feels good. Yeah, the TKL keyboard, which a lot of them does not come with a wrist rest. This does. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing for me because I'm a wrist rest guy. So you do get the wrist rest there. It's a good keyboard. Gives you everything you want in a TKL form factor. You have some multimedia keys. I think that it's worth it for that. Yeah.
And I think that you can excuse the lack of RGB for the price. Other than the fact that it is 10 kilos and... generally, we're looking at like full QWERTY, but it is full QWERTY. But we generally are looking at the numpad included in the pricing. But I think even as a 10 kilos, it's worth the $107.
Yeah, I think it's worth the price. I think a lot of things have to do with like I don't know this for a fact, so don't quote me on this. But I think RGB LEDs use more power.
Right.
I could be wrong, but And the thing is, too, is like with this, like you have a couple modes like breathing and all that kind of stuff. But if you're one of those people that wants like that rainbow wave and stuff, like they're changing colors all the time and you're doing that, that's going to kill your battery. And that's going to make the product not as good because it's going to die after an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think I would rather have this being able to be used wirelessly for as long as I want rather than have some RGBs that, let's face it, guys, you're not really looking at when you're playing games anyways.
No, but you have to think about how cool you look in front of your friends while you're playing games.
Very true, very true. Or on your stream.
Yes.
Your stream is showing your fingers, which I don't know if it will. Yeah. But so I think it's worth it. And then the lap board for $59, the lap board is much better than the lap Dog. Yeah. I think that's what the previous one. Yep. It's much better than that one. And I have one from Rocket. And it's better than that one as far as comfort and everything. And they've made it so much easier to remove and take the keyboard out. Like, put it in and take it back out. Like,
it's just nothing. It was literally, like, a couple of snaps, right?
Yeah, it's super simple. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the whole thing together is worth the price, either or. So, if you want the keyboard, it's worth the price. If you want it together, it's worth the price as well. So,
now, the lap board, did that work with any other keyboards? Or was it just this Corsair board?
It's specifically made just for this Corsair board. Because it's made to slide in and out.
Yeah. So it makes it so simple.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you mentioned it. Did this have a wired option?
What do you mean?
Like to plug in and like I can play with it wired.
Yeah.
If it dies, I can still plug in the USB and still have full functionality.
Yeah, so there's a micro USB. They include the cable. Typically, you use that to charge, but you can just plug that into any PC, and it works wired as well.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about any of that.
Cool. So. Sounds like a great product.
Yeah, I like it. And it does have, like, an auto shutdown feature, so the keyboard will turn off, like, automatically.
That's actually a really important feature for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you don't want to kill your battery all day and everything like that, and you can change the, like, timing of that, I believe, in the Corsair Q software. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and again, we didn't talk about it, but it's kind of a given with Corsair products. This is backed up by software. You can completely reprogram the entire keyboard. You can do all that. You can change the brightness settings and on the LEDs. There's a couple lighting effects, like glowing. You know, like all the kind of lighting effects you would
standard
expect.
All
the
stuff. Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So all of that in Q works flawlessly. So.
Nice.
Great product. Really enjoyed testing this out. And still sitting in front of me, so I haven't like gone back to my other keyboard because I'm kind of liking this. So
nice.
So yeah. So from there, we'll move on to something with RGBs. It is the Ragentech Auris 12 RGB fans. And these are Ragentech's first RGB fans. They've been out for a little while now, but we're doing this whole RGB fan thing over this next few months. So... we're including these in that to give you guys a good idea of like different RGB fans, what they look like and what their options are. Now, these are basically Ragentech had already had these fans created for their cases, but they were single color. So basically what they've done is they've added RGBs and they've added a RGB controller that allows you to change colors and things like that. So this is a black fan with a ring around it where the LEDs are in. And this ring is sort of acts like a diffuser for the LEDs that sit inside of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's so hard to like... knock these guys because this is their first implementation.
They're just not that
it's
great.
There's just a lot wrong with these.
Okay.
The good thing is I would say the price is good. $42.99 for the 3-pack with controller. But that's one of the least expensive RGB options out there.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something that gives you a single ring of color, if you look at some of the photos, you can see kind of what these. You know what these give you. That's what they give you. They give you that ring. The ring really doesn't illuminate the fan blades that much. The fan blades are smoked, and it just doesn't illuminate.
Yeah.
The ring is also not that bright. Just putting that out there too. It's not super bright. There's no software, which
does the controller.
Yeah. There's no RGB connection. So all the fans use a proprietary 6-pin. Which means, one, you can't connect them to a fan hub. So there's no PWM control or variable control based on temperature that you would get from,
say
a 4-pin on your motherboard. You know what I mean? So you don't get that. And then secondly, you don't get RGB control through a standard 4-pin or 5-pin header.
So you cannot connect you would it get. To a motherboard.
Yeah, you cannot connect this to a motherboard. You have to connect it to the controller. The controller allows you to change colors, and it has a breathing mode and a mode that switches between the colors. That's it. Which is a little disturbing for the fact that if you go to the website for this product, it shows that rainbow...
Yeah.
effect that everybody likes and you see advertised with all these things, but that effect is not possible with these. Huh. It's not built into the controller. Yeah. There's no way to do it. So that's a little disappointing, because like
advertising.
Yeah, and that's like an effect that a lot of people want.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be included in one of the modes. Like, that's just, you know. But no. So you don't get that, which is disappointing. You only get a breathing mode, which it's breathing mode, you know.
Yeah.
The controls are on the controller, which there's no, like, extra controller. Like, with the Corsair HD, I think the HD120s that we looked at, you had a hub, like, you know, the hub, mm-hmm. and then you had another control box that had a long cable that you could mount outside or inside the case if you wanted to.
Which is
still not the best implementation, but better than this one.
Pretty much necessary, other than setting and forgetting.
Yeah, so with this, the controls are on the hub itself. It doesn't give you a whole lot of room to kind of place this in your case, which is an issue. Also with the hub only has three connectors for the three included fans, so, you know, that doesn't give you a whole lot of options when you want to add other fans and have them sync correctly.
I'm going to imagine that is partially due to the fact that it's two small power wires and that's it running to it. It's probably limited in the power that it can put out.
I don't know if it's limited, because the Corsair one uses the same power element. Or actually, no, because the Corsair fans connect to a hub. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
The RGB element is powered by a single SATA connector.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
So, like, it's just limited. It's basically like they had these fans that were decent, but then you want to add controls, and again, there's no software, and it's just like it was put together. It seems like it was just put together quickly. You know what I mean? Yeah. The fans themselves are pretty good. You know, but it just, in my opinion, there's better options out there. Now, the better options are going to cost you more, but you're going to get more out of them. And we do a comparison on, if you guys look at page 3, of the lighting effects, the brightness compared to the Inwin Auroras that we took a look at in the Corsair HD120s, and you can see the big difference in that. You know, it's just limited to me. You can't do a whole lot with it. Basically, set a color for the ring, and that's it.
Yeah.
Or breathing mode, or the mode that changes between colors in a breathing mode. Yeah. That's all you get. That's all right. There's no, you can change the speed of the fans on the controller, but you don't want to have to go into your case every time just to change the speeds. It'd be nice if you have a PWM. It does it by temperature. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, it's just very limited. The only thing these have going for them is if you're looking for this type of style, they're cheap. That's about it.
Yeah, I think they're cheap beyond their use. They're also like they fall fairly short according to the specs too, as far as performance. 39, about 40 CFMs of flow and only 0.61. Do not use this as radiator fans, please, because they have no static pressure.
Yeah, it's max 1200 RPM. So, now the good thing is that this is their first implementation, and they've released two other RGB fan series since then. Yeah. So we have one. I'm going to try to get the other one as well. So hopefully they update these. Get some improvements. I don't know. I believe the newer ones have software too.
Okay.
And they're like Bluetooth or something. So like you can control them with your phone, which is cool, which I like.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I have them here, but I haven't even opened them. So, I think.
Which other ones did you get?
Curious. I'll tell you.
Because I with a cooler that I reviewed from them that was RGB as well, and that didn't turn out well.
Yeah, I think it's the Iris ones.
Okay, the Iris 12s.
Yes, I believe that's what I have.
Which is what I believe come on cooler. Let me double check. I don't wanna say anything negative about the wrong thing, so.
Is 240. Yeah, this one has a remote control.
I had a remote control come with it, which was good, except for I don't know if a color was missing. If you didn't listen to that podcast, I couldn't do all the modes and I couldn't do all the colors. It didn't have blue.
Yeah, I think Ewan's right. It didn't have blue.
It
had
blue.
Yeah.
And so that was like, wow, that's pretty disappointing.
It does look like, at least based on their website, if you look at the modes, it has the rainbow mode and it has some other modes besides breathing, which is good.
They didn't really work.
Yeah, so we'll see. I have them here, so I can't tell you, obviously.
They were, I will say this, though, they were a nice fan. The construction was really nice, and they seemed to have decent flow as far as these ones went. So,
yeah.
But, well, you know, when you're comparing RGB to RGB fans, it's less about the performance and more about how does it look?
Yeah, yeah, so. For sure. Now, I definitely have to say these Iris 12s look better than the Aura 12, for sure.
Yeah.
But I haven't even opened them. I haven't got into any of it, so we'll have to see how they go. They you know what
up,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, how they stack up, because we'll just have to see. But I do think they look better.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, the only way I can really recommend these is if you're looking for that single ring design, you want to save some money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you have like a set color, and this is the cheapest way to get that, but I doubt this is the cheapest way to get a set color. But
yeah, I doubt it is.
If that happens to be the case, they might work out for you.
There's some other ones. There's some really cheap fans, I think, that are like $15-16 that have like the controller on the fan. So like, it's like a little button, you know, those like little mini buttons that are like on the fan. You can like set the color that way. So those would be pretty much the cheapest way. This is the way to do it with a little bit more option. But like I said, it's all on what you want. $42.99, it's a decent price. But again, very limited as far as what else is out there currently. So, So then finally, we take a look at a gaming product, and it is the Tesoro Zone Evolution Gaming Chair. This is the upgrade to their previous gaming chair, which was the Zone Balance, which I'm sitting on right now. But I didn't take a look at this. Ryan did, and this was his first gaming chair. So it's cool to see. I know you did your first one not that long ago as well. Cool to see most of us, and even when I did my first one, is that we thought these were kind of gimmicky.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but they are comfortable, I think. And I think that I think the one thing I've reviewed three, you reviewed one, and this would be Ryan's first one, is that the one thing I like about the Tesoro ones is that they do have they have like the lumbar support and the head cushion are big. I need that like extra support. So like I'll switch between the two that I actually have here and I'll take the head support off the Tesoro one and put it on the other one because the head cushion on the other one's smaller. So with this one, it's kind of a little bit of an upgrade to the Zone Balance. It gives you a little bit more. It gives you a bigger lumbar support. Still around the same price. It's $269.99, which is not bad at all. And one thing I did notice about the Tesoro chairs compared to other ones is that the actual like padding, the foam padding, is bigger. It's just like a bigger foam padding.
Yeah, it looks bigger than the one that I have.
Yeah, which is good. It kind of like allows you to kind of just feel like you're in the chair more. In my opinion, and Ryan had the same kind of thoughts as we did. It's like they were, you know, these are a gimmick or a money grab for companies, which I honestly, until I used one, I thought that's what they were too.
The design is what's the gimmick, is it's built like a race chair out of a car. That is the design, but in their execution, they actually are very comfortable chairs.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
So the only issue that he really had is that, like, the height adjustments, you know, and, like,
same as mine,
Ryan, he, like, felt like he couldn't, like, all, like, when he was sitting down, his feet were off the ground a little bit.
Same story.
Which is weird because, like, I have this Tesoro one and my feet are touching the ground right now.
I think he's taller than you even.
Yeah, he's much taller than me.
So, yeah.
That's a little weird.
With a different pneumatic that doesn't adjust as low, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I can think of. But I think that, again, I think Tesoro does a good job and they price it correctly with these chairs. I was actually surprised at the one that I had that it's cost compared to, like, I reviewed a couple other ones that were more expensive and weren't as good of quality. So I think Tesoro has this kind of down as far as price. Again, the bigger cushioning, which I'm a fan of, the bigger lumbar support and the bigger head support kind of give you really good value for your money, in my opinion, for this.
I wonder if so I think, part of the cost is that the manufacturer of these, which is obviously not Tesoro or any of these individual name brands, has gotten the process down enough that they are actually getting cheaper.
I would hope so. Yeah. It's like any product when it first comes out, like you remember, like, you know, memory or SSDs or anything, yeah, like super expensive when they can't produce enough or whatever. But then once they get the process down and they, once the process is down, it gets cheaper, as you said, and yeah, then, you know, they can, yeah, hopefully that's the case. You know, I would like to see, I think there are some, but they're not as good as these, for like, you know, $99. That would be kind of cool. Yeah. Get every, you know, everybody could kind of afford one of these.
Yeah. And I mean, $275 almost really is, I mean, that is fairly expensive if you stop and think about it for some people. But in, if you compare this to even like standard office chairs, it's actually, it's right in the right price range. Office chairs, just, they're just expensive items. That's kind of how it is. And I mean, really, this is low end office chair, if we're being honest too. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can spend over $1,000 on an office chair.
Well over, yeah.
Herman Miller.
That $4,000. You can easily spend $4,000, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and these even, I mean, I've seen these go up as high as, I think,
$500. Yeah.
For some of the higher-end brands. So you just have to, the thing that sucks about buying these online or anything, or even trying to find these, is one, you can't go to, like, Best Buy and buy these.
Right.
They don't
right.
sell them there. They don't sell them anywhere unless you live... I don't even know if, what's the big, I can't even think of it, like Micro Center, or what's the other one?
There's Fry's.
Fry's. Like, I don't even know if they sell them.
That's fine.
You know, I would hope that Fry's does, that you could go in there and sit down and try them, but that's the thing about buying these chairs, is you don't really know how they feel until you get it and put it together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you absolutely, it's hard to trust, you know, that it's going to be what you really want.
And the thing that's, and the thing that's even worse is that if you do buy it and put it together, you're, if you want to send it back, I can't imagine the manufacturer is going to pay for shipping back, because it's such a big item. And two is that you have to take it apart and put it back in the box,
yeah,
that you probably threw away. You know,
they're
what I mean?
Not, so, yeah, it's not like they're difficult to put together, but they're also not that easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have them at Fry's, actually. So.
Okay. So hopefully Fry's has something set up. Yeah. I've actually never been hopefully in a Fry's in my life.
I have not either.
Yeah, we're not lucky enough to live near one. I'm Micro Center's 2 hours, 2.5 hours away too. So
yeah.
If you're lucky enough to live next to Fry's, you know, let us know if they have like a little thing set up for gaming chairs. That'd be kind of cool if they did, so you can actually sit in them and kind of get an idea of what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Because the thing that sucks is you don't, you know, you're paying money for something that you don't know how it feels, right? We can tell you it feels good and everything, but it's all up to your comfort level and how you want to feel. You know?
Yeah, everybody's body is different, and this is ergonomics. So.
Yeah, for sure. So, but yeah, I definitely highly recommend the Tesoro chairs based on my experience, and it seems like what Ryan said as well. They're good,
mm-hmm,
and they're comfortable. So, yeah.
Cool.
Definitely check them out. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and we're gonna see a lot of builds for Computex, which is coming up. And this build comes from GGF LAN Party, which I think they did like 8 builds for Computex, which is crazy.
Nice.
For a single builder to do, but he's pumping them out, and I've looked at some of them and they look amazing.
Yeah, this is sick.
This one is for G Skill, who makes the very popular and one of my most favorites, RGB DDR4 memory, and it's completely scratch build. Kind of the top is designed to look like their Trident Z memory, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah,
and it's just a build to show off.
Well, it's really to me, it looks like it's a good build for like to set in the corner of your booth, you know, to really draw people in, because it doesn't really show off. I mean, it shows off the memory, right? Because it obviously it has their memory installed, but like it doesn't show off their product that much. But it's more like it absolutely looks like their heat spreader at the top of it. So it's like a a wall, it's like a wall build, like the thermal take case, you know. But it's with, you know, the top of it's kind of angled, and then it's got the G-Skill heat spreader, the Trident heat spreader at the top, and then like an RGB strip along the right hand side, and some water cooling, and a bunch of EVGA parts.
Yeah, and it's cool to see that massive EVGA, the X299 Dark, which came out after the initial X299 launch. Yeah. It is a massive board that has everything.
Looks great with that Hydro Copper.
Yeah.
GPU below it.
Yeah, it looks great. I think even the colors, like they don't like necessarily like match, but I just think it kind of looks good, like with the color choices and everything. I think
it looks great.
Yeah, just a great, cool scratch build that if you're at Computex, you'll see. I'm assuming it's at the G-Skill booth.
It's got to be.
It just looks good. It's cool.
And props to their photoshopper / photographer, because these photos look great, too.
Yeah, they look really good. GGF has a style and a build quality photo quality and everything that we're used to. And they do, they have a video for this. I believe the video shows all of the putting everything together and all that kind of stuff too. So you can check that out. We have that in the article. They have a ton of builds. We link their website as well, so you can go on there and see their builds, that they've done for Computex or previous events they've done a ton of builds for. So very, very,
very cool. High quality, awesome. High level, builders.
Yes.
This is professional class right here.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, I think they're like one of the big, you know, you'll see at every event, every big event, you'll see a GGF build, which is cool. Is really cool. So definitely check this one out. And that brings us to news. And two big graphics card stories. One that we've been waiting for a while, and another one that has to do with some controversy, which I like. So first, it looks like we'll see, finally, a GTX 1080 successor by late July. It looks like NVIDIA is putting their final touches on a GeForce-branded GPU, which will feature the next-generation architecture, which we don't know what it is. We've heard Turing, we've heard Volta, like, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what they're going to be used for, what the deal is. Late July product announcement. For this, and this is a long time coming. I don't know how long 2 years with the 1080, and of course we saw the 1080 Ti come later. And that's exciting. I was expecting something at Computex. We might still see something at Computex, something hidden.
I think we'll definitely see leaks at the very least.
Something at Computex with this new card. And again, if you remember, you know, we were expecting to see Volta at CES. We didn't see it at holiday season, so we're like, okay, CES, didn't happen.
Yeah.
And we didn't see an announcement at the GTC either. So hopefully we'll see some leak, something at Computex, and then this announcement, which I'm sure they'll have their own event, or they'll launch it at some event that happens in that time frame, which I'm not really sure. E3 is in July. Early July, I believe.
I don't see an E3 announcement. Really makes sense. That would be weird. It's off brand.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks like, just like we saw with other, you know, the 1080 will come first, and you would see, or the successor to the 1080. So either going to be called the 1180 or 2080, whatever they do their numbering for this. And you'll see the 1080 first, and or, you know, whatever they're going to call it, and then the lower one, like a 1070, and then like in 6 to 8 months, you'll see a Ti version, which they typically do. And you'll see Founders Edition launch first for a small, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then you'll see custom cards come a little bit later. So
hopefully Founders Edition isn't more money this time, because that was just odd to me.
Probably will be, because that's the, they can do really well. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing with this launch, honestly, is just pricing. If it's absurdly priced, that'll be a huge disappointment. Because this should really be the point where they try to push cost back down for the gamer, you know.
Yeah.
We've suffered through these high prices for long enough. Let's get some help here. Make things, I mean, they don't have to, but please make the market more affordable for us.
And I think too, it's like, you know, hopefully this new card comes out, and then maybe if you were strapped for cash, you can buy a 1080.
Yeah.
You know,
hopefully then, it makes it obsolete to the point.
Yeah.
Obsolete in mining to the point where you can buy it.
Well, rumors are that this card's going to be really good at mining, especially when it comes to Ethereum, which, you know, so who knows? But it's exciting. It's finally, like, we've been ready. The GPU market is kind of stale right now as far as, like, new products coming out and things like that. So I'm excited. I would have liked to see it at Computex, honestly, but I doubt we'll see an official announcement from NVIDIA till this late July time. So
what? I didn't click on the link from Tom's. Where's Tom sourcing this from?
I don't know.
What's there? They're just saying that it won't be Computex. I still don't see it not being Computex.
I'm seeing it not be Computex. I think they would have their own event. There's so much going on
at Computex.
And especially, like, I know NVIDIA's gonna be launching or announcing with other companies the G-Sync monitors. And that's really big for them too. So I think that will be like the big NVIDIA thing, and maybe like a little preview at Computex, and then some other event or something.
They don't want to overshadow they'll have the rest of that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. So yeah, but it's exciting that we're getting these little hints and these little tidbits for a new GeForce series, which we've all been waiting for 2 years. So it's
well overdue.
yes, for sure. So also talking about NVIDIA, sort of, and ASUS and all that. We had been talking about it for the past couple months, is the NVIDIA GeForce Partner Program. And this is the program in which NVIDIA wanted their add-in board partners to sign up for, and it gave them all of these special services, R&D help, it gave them money, marketing money, it gave them, it wasn't written that they would get this, but it gave them higher priority to actual GPU allocation, from what a lot of people said. Mm-hmm. And the whole gist is that if you had a brand, a gaming brand, if you want to be part of the program and get all these perks, you were not allowed to sell other GPU products, namely AMD products.
Under that brand.
And yes, under that brand. And a lot of companies signed up for it. Big companies, pretty much all the big companies.
Well, you had to. You didn't have a choice. Because availability is kind of a big deal if you're going to try to sell a product.
Yeah, exactly. So the fear from a lot of companies was that if I don't sign up for this, I'm only going to be allocated X number of GPUs, whereas a partner, somebody part of the program, will be allocated a lot more and obviously be able to sell a lot more, right? And you have to always obviously think of the marketing money that you would be getting and things like that too.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, fast forward to about, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, is that NVIDIA shut down this program. And the reason they shut it down is because so many people were writing and talking about how anti-competitive this program was. And it was. It really was. It's like, if you have a gaming brand, you can only sell our products. That's it, right? And I don't think that... I didn't like it from the get-go, just for that fact. I didn't like it because it didn't give me as a consumer and as a gamer the choice, because, you know, we're attached to these brands. We're attached to, you know, Aorus, a Republic of Gamer, or a Lightning or a Gaming X cards from MSI. You know what I mean? We're attached to those brands and we build based on that brand. Like, if you like a certain brand, that's the one you want to build. And if you're a AMD fanboy or an NVIDIA fanboy, you know, whatever, you want the ability to buy that card in that product or in that brand. You know what I mean?
And theme and build and color.
Yeah, exactly. And feature set too. I mean, you know, there's specific feature sets that are built into these cards that you wouldn't get on another
stock version from another company.
Yeah, exactly. So because of all of this, NVIDIA terminated the program, which we were pretty happy about. I think you talked about at last podcast, the podcast before, mm-hmm. we talked about it, and it's, yeah, like, you know, that's awesome. But in the wake of all this, a lot of brands who sign up for the program, they delisted their AMD cards, and a lot of them have been coming out with these off brands for their AMD stock, right?
Not so much an off brand, just a new brand for AMD stock.
Yeah, a new brand for AMD stock. And Asus was one of those, and they came out with the Ares brand, A-R-E-Z. You know, the thing that sucks about this whole thing is that, you know, while it if you look at the Ares cards, they look basically like ROG cards with, let's say, Ares on them, yeah. right? But, you know, they spent the money to completely take the branding off. They spent the money to register the Ares trademark, I'm assuming, and all this other stuff. Whatever all this money that went into it, you know, it doesn't seem like much, but it probably is a decent amount of money. You know, then the partner program's off, so they don't have to worry about it. So what are you going to do with these brands? So Asus has decided to, you know, bite this bullet and just cancel the Ares brand, which I like. But it sucks for Asus because they had already spent the money and did all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a total waste of resources for them. But it is the right move because it puts things back on an even playing field for everyone. And, of course, ROG is a much stronger brand.
Yeah. So. And that's the thing too. So I'm not sure if we'll see this from other companies. I would hope that we do. Just because, you know, like, the big companies have their defined gaming brand, and you want a card either from NVIDIA or AMD in that gaming brand. You don't want some new brand that doesn't look as cool, that you're just not used to. You know what I mean? It's just, you just want that brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So hopefully we see other brands kind of follow suit, but, you know, this is the big one. Obviously, Asus is one of the biggest selling graphics cards brands out there. So we'll see how that, you know, that whole thing goes.
Probably be a trendsetter.
Yeah, I would think so. And just like we were talking about with NVIDIA and G-Sync, is that a new 4K 144Hz HDR G-Sync display has gone up for pre-order. And this one's the badass one. This is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the Acer Predator X27. So it's a 27-inch 4K display, IPS panel, 4ms response time. And the refresh rate is up to 144Hz through overclocking. I've never actually overclocked a monitor, so I'm not sure how that works. It operates 120Hz normal, but to get 144, you have to overclock. But I'm not specifically sure how you just, like,
I forget which works. Part of the monitor you actually do that to. It's been a little while.
Yeah. I assume it's available, like, in the OSD on the monitor, I think, to do that.
But I'm not. Yeah.
I think that you can, like, operate it at that frequency, but, like, I don't know if it voids your warranty or, like, I don't know.
That would be sketchy. Yeah. I think, it's really weird. It'd be interesting to actually see when this comes out what the case is.
Yeah. But this is like the quintessential that a lot of gamers have been looking for. All those specs together, you get 10-bit HDR with 1000 nits of brightness, which you really need to fully actually experience HDR. Mm. 99% Adobe RGB coverage, and of course support for NVIDIA G-Sync, which if you haven't used is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have HDMI, you have an HDMI port, display port, and four USB 3.0 ports, and being part of the Predator line, it does have the thingies on the side to really immerse you into the game, which I actually just got a monitor that has those, so I've never used one, like, for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So I was going to see kind of how that goes and all that.
It's a it's a pretty big stand and display, actually. It's pretty deep.
Yeah.
It's interesting when most of the market is moving towards thinner later.
I know that you need extra space for the G-Sync module because that's actually a piece of hardware. Right. It's not. Yeah. And you need a USB hub in there, I guess.
No, you don't.
yeah, you don't, but there's one in this one. Yeah. And this one's $2,000. It's $19.99. A lot of money.
Yeah.
These will start coming out between, I would think, anywhere between, I would say, the low end $15.99 to around $3,000, I think, for these new monitors.
Sounds about right.
You know, and a lot of them will be announced at Computex, I'm guessing, and we'll see them trickle through after that a little bit too. But this will be the new standard, and once it becomes a new standard, I think right now 1440p 144 hertz is like becoming the standard. So like in 2 years, this will be the actual real standard.
It'll still probably be the high-end standard, I think.
Yeah, we haven't really got into 8K. There are 8K displays out there. They're not anywhere near 144 hertz or
they're not
like
even
that.
Anywhere near like consumer level almost.
Yeah,
the professional monitor still.
So
I think because I mean right now 1440p is still not even like the standard. It's still 1080p. So I think you got quite a bit of time until this becomes like the real standard.
Yeah. And I think that too, you know, in a couple of years you'll see that spec at like the $700-$800 range.
Yes.
Which will be awesome, which would make this much more affordable.
Yeah. It'll take and then quite a bit more time before it really comes into like regular pricing.
Yeah, and the thing is too, you have to think about, you know, you need graphics that can push that too.
Yeah, you definitely
there's
do.
Only a few graphics cards that can really do that at high settings. So at least currently. But again, we have that NVIDIA hopeful launch that's coming. So but we'll move on, move to cases. And NZXT had two announcements this week, and one is they have a brand new case. Which is their H500 or H500i. The I is the smart version. And this is a mid-tower ATX. It looks sleek. I mean, I'm not sure how they put that side panel on there. Because I don't see any, like, I don't know how that side panel goes on and off of the case.
The tempered panel?
But yeah, because there's no...
Looks like there's a... A screw in the back.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, but I'm not sure how that actually works. But this is just a sleek looking case, and it's made to be a little bit affordable. So they already have the H series, and they have the H, the H700 or the H800? I'm not sure which ones they have. But this is kind of like a new version. The only thing I don't like about this is that there's a couple things I don't like. One is that NZXT has kind of a thing where like they come out with a case, like they came out with the H700 in the, I believe it's like the H400 and H200, right? And they all have the same design, right? So it goes 200, 400, 700. And now they have this 500, which is different design-wise a little bit. It doesn't have the same feature set. It's a little different. And that kind of confuses me as a consumer, right?
Like, where does this product fall?
Yeah, because if you look at it, just in the price range, without the I versions, but the H200 is $89.99. The H400 is $99.99.
Wow.
The H700 is $149.99. Okay?
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? Yeah. In a product stack. The H500, $69.99. Like, it doesn't make... this is made to
be like...
Is
that to make
like
it feel like there's value? Is that to like trick the consumer into purchasing this?
I think this is more to be a value case.
It's certainly a value case at that pricing.
And it doesn't have the most important thing I liked about the H700i or the H700 when I reviewed it was that it has a sleek design, but it has the ventilation, not proper ventilation, but the enough ventilation so you won't get like overheating or, you know, anything like that. And it gives it, but if you look at this, at least from the renders that I'm seeing, is that there is no ventilation.
Well, there's top ventilation, and then there's a couple of strips on the side of the front. Actually, just on the back side of the front.
Yeah, I don't see it on you know what I mean?
I assume that the bottom has to have an intake. With the if you look at the mid plate in this, it's all vented. And that could be for the aesthetic, I suppose, because that aesthetic matches their motherboard aesthetic.
Yeah.
But
I do see the ventilation, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm thinking the case. Is that there's no I'm only assuming two fans come with this.
Yeah.
Which would be the top exhaust and the rear exhaust, which is shown in the PR photo. Yeah. So I'm not getting any intake anyways, included in my 99 or 69 price, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get draw, though.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I love this design. It looks awesome. It's sleek. It's awesome. But for running a gaming PC, you need some front ventilation, man. You just do.
Yeah.
And I have that issue with the case that I use, which is the Inwin 805i. It's hot in there. It you know, it's not what you really should be running a PC at. So I think NZXT is sending me one of these, so I will let you guys know. Yeah, we'll find out how that all goes and how many fans are actually included. Yeah. But I love the sleek design. I mean, this thing is just, it looks good. They've taken the typical four thumb screws off the side panel, which is pretty awesome,
yeah.
I think, and just made that side look so sweet, and that's a full coverage panel there.
I imagine that's got a hook in the bottom, right? I mean, I don't see many other ways that it's got to have some way that it's supported, and it's not tempered all the way down.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or is it?
And it's a half panel. It's like a
three-quarters panel. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at the side panel off. I'm not sure how it works.
Well, the white looks, at first glance, the white looks like it's part of the glass, like the glass is built into it. But then, I actually think, and maybe this is what you were saying, but the glass might actually be just three-quarters glass, and it ends at the mid-plate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So then, which is a different design than what we've seen altogether, too.
Yeah, it's gotta have like a little ledge that it sits in there then, yeah. And then that back thumb screw, that must just secure just that back corner, and that is enough.
Looking case, very affordable, and you get the i version, which has their smart device, RGB digital fan controller, Hue Plus, all that kind of stuff built in. So there is a difference in price, 69 for the normal version, 99 for the non version, which I believe will come with like RGB strip, I'm not sure what else it comes with, but it comes with Hue Plus, which is a great piece of and that runs all through their cam software. Yeah. So you get a really good a good start to like an RGB build if you're kind of trying to go that way too. So
it'll all come down to like build quality on that thing, I think, because it's pretty minimalist. I think paint quality, build quality, material, you know, just feel, because there's not a lot to say about features on it. It's pretty stripped down.
Yeah, for sure. So, cool. We'll see. Like I said, hopefully I'll be getting one. So I'm pretty excited to check it out.
Yes.
And they also announced we talked about the H700, an H700i Ninja Edition. And I really like what they're doing with these theme cases. We saw one for PUBG. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was the one of these or was a different one of their cases. But this one, Ninja is pretty much the most popular Fortnite player out there.
Is he the most popular gamer at this point? Based on public opinion?
I would say. I mean, he was playing Fortnite with Drake.
Yeah, you don't get much better than that.
Yeah. So NZXT has custom designed a case with his likeness with the blue and the yellow. And it's their H700i. Great paint job. Great color match.
It actually is nice.
The back side has his logo.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's where it kind of takes a dive off into the deep end for me.
Yeah, but if you're a fan of Ninja, you're gonna want that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but it's so classy up until then.
Yeah, I like the color match on it. It just molds really well, and it's cool. And you know what? When I saw this, I really think this is great. Because this opens another avenue of revenue for gamers, right? Like, if you're not all gamers, but you know, shows you that, like, you know, you can make money streaming, playing in tournaments, being sponsored or whatever. But this gives you another outlet as a gamer to make money, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, in the past, we've seen a handful of individuals, do hardware products, but not a lot. It'd be really cool to see a lot more, because this happens in most other professional sports, you know?
Yes.
And so this kind of is an extension of that. So this is really cool to see.
Yeah. So it's $249. So that is basically a $50 premium over the normal H700i. And I think with the colors, again, if you're a fan of Ninja, you get the logo on the side, and you get a Ninja logo on, that's like, I don't know if it's etched. I forget what they actually call the type of etching, but it says Ninja on the side panel too.
On the front panel?
On the tempered glass side panel.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Where's
it's
that?
In the main photo, you can kind of see it. It says Ninja. Yeah.
Yep.
So I think this is great. What's really cool is I think that games like Fortnite and PUBG have brought so many people into the PC gaming realm that they like, you know, people who are playing it maybe on console or even on their mobile device now, they want a PC. They want to, you know, be part of that. And I think that
they want a cool
they'll
PC
be drawn.
Too.
Yeah, they'll be drawn to this, right? Yeah. And I just think about it too. Like, you know, the NZXT N7 motherboard that they actually have in the photo, but you know, you can take those covers off and paint them the same color as the blue or the yellow. So cool stuff that you could do with this. So really cool. And I'm not mad at the price either, honestly.
No, I think it's maybe it's difficult to technically justify, but I think it's a good price for it.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. Yeah. I don't know if this is,
I wonder what the run is. Is it limited? Limited run or?
I don't know. It's available for pre-order. Maybe they're just doing pre-orders and then they'll just ship out the pre-orders. Yeah. I'm not sure.
They probably want to do some sort of a feeler to see.
Yeah, but I think it's cool. Very, very cool, and cool for Ninja, who is really doing a great job to promote Fortnite and all that kind of stuff. So
he's not in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. So. Another cool thing was announced this week, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with us, like, but it will eventually kind of trickle down to us PC builders, possibly, is that Acer came out with two notebooks that ship with Amazon Alexa built in. I should unplug my Alexa because it's going to go off. So their Acer Spin 3 and the Acer Spin 5 lines all come with Amazon Alexa built in. So basically, this shows me that Cortana
losing some market share here.
One doesn't have all the functionality, which I don't think it does, especially when it comes to smart devices and all that kind of stuff, right? Two, that Amazon is, you know, I don't know how the deal worked out with Acer or how this happened, but they're making a push, right?
Mm-hmm.
Into this space. And, the technology that makes this possible is all powered by the Intel Smart Sound technology, which is a new upgrade for the Z390 chipset and accompanying chipsets that are coming out. Yeah. So this is going to be a big thing. And I think we are going to see this, and there might be a war between Google, Alexa for our, at least to start out, notebooks and other devices moving forward.
Yeah.
It'll be very
interesting because of the new chipset, because of the new features. It'll be very interesting to see I'm kind of interested in the Intel part of this, like, what does that do exactly that's allowing this to really make a difference? Like, why couldn't you just slap Alexa into a notebook before? I feel like you could.
I think you can, and then this is the old, this is not the new one.
Right.
The Smart Sound has been around, but I think what this does is, at least in this current generation, like the Coffee Lake notebooks, is that this helps with like directional sound, so it can pick up the sound, and it helps with the processing of that sound. So, you know, when you say something...
sound processing?
Yeah, so when you say something, it knows what you're saying, right? Yeah. And obviously can process that and then send that off, and you get your response. You know, it's not like you're waiting for the response. It's instant, which that's what we want, you know.
Well, that's a big part of this too, when you mention it, is that this has to be, I feel like this has to be seamless. Like, I have to be able to continue using my device while using Alexa at the same time.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we'll have to see with these devices. Yeah. You know, but I think, you know, especially with the new chipsets when it comes to desktop, is that maybe they'll just be like an Alexa app that you can download for free that gives you Alexa on your PC, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, bigger brands like Dell and HP could say, oh, this desktop has an Alexa built in.
Yeah.
You know?
And we'll see what Google challenges back with.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's just cool. It's a big deal, especially for Amazon. So,
yep.
Very cool. Yep. And then we'll talk about some cooling and some other stuff. Cooler Master finally introduced their RGB MA410M that we did get to see.
This is cool.
This is a very good looking CPU cooler. But the one thing that I want to point out is that Cooler Master does air coolers well. Typically, we haven't tested this, but this is a tower type cooler with two RGB fans. And the biggest thing with this is that these RGB fans have individually controllable LEDs that work with their software that's not out yet. and this also shows you how hard it is to get software to work correctly.
Yeah.
They showed us the software at CES with this. It was like in beta or whatever, you know, wasn't done then. And that was, 6 months ago or however long ago. So the software's still not done. But I think this cooler looks great. I think with dual fans, a tower cooler, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4 heat pipes that look like they're direct touch heat pipes as well.
Yeah,
this would be a good cooler. $70. Which part of that cost goes into the fans, which is kind of sucks. But
the pricing scheme for coolers is kind of being disrupted in a way. What we used to compare in the past is now sort of impossible because, like, the RGB fans are just expensive, as you probably know.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the past, a $70 air cooler, this is not a $70 air cooler, right?
Correct. Very much.
You're talking Noctua at that point, but.
Yep.
If you want the RGBs, I mean, this is a $40 cooler with $30 of fans on it, right?
Yeah.
So that seems about right to me.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to point out too is that I think this will fit, like, it's not a low end cooler, but I think it will be like not high end like Noctua, but like right in that middle spot. Mm-hmm. I think this will cool, you know, up to your Core i7s.
Mainstream stuff.
Yeah, mainstream stuff pretty well here. I like it. And one thing I do like about this that I got to experience with one of Cooler Master's AIOs is that, at least in the one photo, it looks like you get those, what's it called?
Diffuser?
Those thumb screws.
Oh, gotcha.
The thumb screws, the top, which are like, yeah, and like, those make installing fans so much easier. Like, you don't know until you do it.
Yeah.
but yeah, so you have that. Great, great looking product. Expected second week of June. So, pretty cool.
Nice.
I like it.
Good to see them getting that out. Dude, is there an ETA on the software, though? Because that product is fairly useless without software.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. The fans on that product are fairly useless without software.
Yes. I think they'll probably, like, if you do it without software, it'll be like set up as a default thing, like a default mode.
Okay.
You
know what I mean? Yeah.
So we'll, again, it's just, we'll see. Hopefully by launch it will be ready. You know, I haven't talked to Cooler Master about it, so not sure.
Gotcha.
So yeah. And then our final piece of news today has to do with CryoRig, which we haven't heard a whole lot about. In this past year, they'd be kind of under the radar, but they have two products. One is an update of a current product, and the other one is a brand new product, which looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Not sure how practical it is these days, but we'll get into that. So the first product is an M.2 cooler. We've seen a ton of them. This one is super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks awesome. So it is a heatsink that goes on top that has a heat pipe that comes out of it that goes into another circular heat sink, which looks awesome.
Fins, really. It's not really a heat sink, but yeah, fins at the top.
Yeah, fins at the top, yeah.
Which actually situate directly in front of the turbine intake of a It looks like it. Well, that's not true because it depends on where you put this on your board, but it looks like you could situate directly inside of, in front of the intake fan for your GPU. So you actually get direct airflow there.
Yeah, and what's cool is that you can adjust this, the heat pipe, you can move it. So you can move it out of the way of a GPU if your M.2 sits under the GPU.
That's cool. That's the coolest one I think that we've seen so far.
That's the coolest one I've seen. Who has the RGB one? Somebody has the RGB one.
Oh, yeah. I think this is cool.
I think ADATA makes the RGB one. But yeah, this looks awesome. It's super cool. But the thing that I just thought, initial first thought when I saw this, is that we have M.2s now that don't overheat. I know old ones do, but most new ones, I don't know about like the third party ones, but like, you know, the new
Samsung should be good.
And the new Western Digital ones, like the two biggest players in that area, they don't overheat. I'm not sure. I have a couple new ones with the newer controllers. I haven't tested them yet, but I think they come with heat sinks built in anyways. But I think this is just a cool item. They don't list pricing. This is all stuff they're going to be showing at Computex, by the way. So not sure.
It might be a product that was in development too long, though.
Yeah, that could be it. And CryoRig has been kind of slow with release cycles of certain products. But I think this product looks great. It's super cool.
Yeah.
And then they have updated their very popular C7 ITX cooler, which is pretty much like, it's one of the best looking and actually one of the better performing ITX coolers out there, made for small form factor builds to look awesome. They actually make a copper version of the normal one, that's all copper heatsink, which is super cool too. This one, the big upgrade is they put an RGB fan on there, which, you know, you gotta have. And this RGB fan has your, I believe it's a traditional 4-pin header that you connect to your motherboard to give you full control. I don't believe there's software with this. So you have to connect it to a board that has RGB control.
Gotcha.
Which makes sense for a small product like this, and to not add extra cost onto this.
Yeah.
And everything like that. Because if you had software, you would need your own controller that connects via USB and all that kind of stuff. So. Yeah. Two cool products that CryoRig will be launching at Computex, and I'm sure with all the coverage that's going to be going on, we'll be able to get a closer look at these. So, pretty cool stuff.
It's nice.
Yes. So, that is news for this week, and we'll move on to what we have coming up next week. First, we have a keyboard from Thermaltake, and we haven't taken a look at a gaming product from Corsair, or not from Corsair, I'll tell you why I say Corsair in a second, from Thermaltake in a while. It's their TT Premium X1. It's an RGB keyboard that looks very much like a Corsair keyboard, I have to say, design-wise.
A bit too much? Probably a bit too much.
Thermaltake has had
a rough history of that.
Yes. But we have it. Ryan is checking it out, and he'll let us know what it's like to use, the quality difference, and all of that. His, I believe, has the Cherry MX Silver switches, which are the fast switches. So you do get true Cherry switches in there, which is good.
Yeah. It's got an
RGB backlighting, with an app and a mobile app. The mobile app is iOS only. So he won't be testing that. And it has voice control with the mobile app, which is kind of cool, I guess. But I don't know how useful it would be. But I do like on-the-fly macros, or like not on-the-fly, like changing macros with your phone, I think is kind of cool.
I think the phone app is a great idea.
Yeah, and the phone app, like you can use the phone as a controller. Can have your phone set up and like hit it to do your macro. You wouldn't think about it for FPS, but for RPG and RTS, I think that's pretty cool. Maybe. And like MMOs and stuff.
Perhaps. I almost feel like that's too much of a reach for this product. Maybe. Yes. I think they probably, my guess would be they probably spent too much time and money on that part of it when all they really needed to do was the keyboard control.
Yeah. Well, I think that this app will work with all of their gaming products that will be coming out.
Yeah.
So this is, I believe, the first product that it will be. But I think it's cool.
It's cool. It's just
yeah.
I don't know Honestly, I don't know how many gamers will actually use that.
Correct. I agree. So. But I think it'd be interesting to see how this compares to a Corsair keyboard, because it looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Sad to say, but it does. So that is coming, and I'll be taking a look at Cooler Master. We're just talking about them. Two cases that we also saw at CES, the Masterbox Q300L and the Masterbox Q300P. These are extremely affordable cases, micro ATX, which is perfect size for a single card build, you know, especially if you're in this price range. The Q300L is a little bit less flashy, and I believe it's $40. And the Q300P is more flashy, comes with some RGB fans and some RGB lighting, of course, right? And this one's $70, I believe. Yeah, $69.99 on Amazon and Newegg. So two cool little cases. I'm going to be interested. I just opened them up today, so I can't tell you about building inside them yet, but see how the build goes and see, you know, how the internals and all that kind of go. But I think these are two pretty affordable cases that look good for what they are.
Yeah, they don't look bad. They look good in person at CES.
Yeah, yeah, we got to see them in CES and see them with a full build inside, so they look good. So yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. And then we are back to some more RGBs.
Why not?
Why not, right? So the Ballistics Tactical Tracer RGB, one of the first ever memory that I reviewed that had lights on it in general was the Tracer memory from Crucial. Now that, I mean, they're calling Ballistic their own brand now, as most companies are doing. So it's a nice looking RGB module. There are no cables. I haven't installed them, so I'm not sure if they have their own software. Oh yeah, they do. They have their Ballistics mod utility, so you'll be able to control it via software. And I'm not sure if it works with your motherboard software as well. I will be testing that. But yeah. And you can, what's kind of cool too is for all of the people who have 3D printers out there, the light, the diffuser at the top that says Ballistic on it, you can print your own to say whatever you want, which is kind of cool. They provide the 3D printing files to do it. So yeah. So I'll have this. I have a 32 gig kit, which is a lot of fun to test out. So we'll have all that stuff for you guys next week. And of course, coming to the end of the podcast, we always talk about some cool stuff. And Derek has some notes in here about a TV show or a documentary and two movies. So go ahead and tell us about what you've been watching.
I watched Deadpool 2. So, you know, spoiler warning. No, just kidding. We won't actually get into it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so don't spoil it for me.
Yeah, it's good. But I guess I'm not going to get into it any more than that. That's about as far as I can go.
You can't spoil it for all of us, because I haven't seen it yet.
Nothing to be said, I guess. And I watched Black Panther. That's on video now. That was good as well. And the thing that we both did see was a documentary on Netflix. A Netflix original, I believe, called Evil Genius. It's about the pizza delivery man bomber that happened right in Bob's backyard, basically. Right where he lives.
But what's interesting is that I had never heard about this.
It was 2003.
Yeah, but I mean, it was national news. I mean, at least according to this documentary.
Yeah, I think I remember it.
I mean, 2003, I graduated high school, so it probably wasn't like on my radar.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? But yeah,
it's a super interesting twisted story.
It's very twisted. It's very interesting. It makes it more interesting for me because it happens in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is like 2.5 hours from Pittsburgh, something like that. Maybe a little bit more. I haven't been up there in a while.
You haven't been to visit the family in a while, huh?
I haven't been up there. So, but yeah, so, you know, definitely worth checking out if you have Netflix for sure. Deadpool, I need to go see it. I just haven't had time. That's one I want to see in a theater. Definitely want to see that. And then you have Black Panther there, which I have not seen yet. And I've heard everybody like on Facebook, like friends, they have all talked about and said it was really good.
They raved, but I wouldn't do any raving if I'm being honest.
You didn't like it?
That's not that I didn't like it. I just did that the way people talked about it was like it was like the best superhero movie ever made.
Interesting.
Sorry, but
yeah, I mean, it's on my list of stuff to see again. I just, when it comes with me and time, I just, yeah, it's not,
yeah. Spend your time on Deadpool.
Yeah, I'll probably watch Deadpool. The first one was amazing, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds killed, just, he's the perfect person for that role in general.
Ryan Reynolds is one of my favorite actors. Like, it wasn't always, I can't claim it was always. I liked him since, basically since Waiting, though. If you've seen that movie,
that was
one of my favorite movies of all time, and he's like one of the main protagonists in it, and it's amazing. He's had a little bit of a rough career in the meantime, some fairly flopped superhero movies, but also a ton of great movies, and he's just funny as hell.
Yeah, he's really, really funny. So I would check out Deadpool. Like I said, Black Panther's on the list. It's not there. It's not urgent for me to go see.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Besides that, I'm trying to think what I did.
You played some Fortnite.
I've been playing Fortnite a lot. Tested this Corsair keyboard playing Fortnite, so I had an excuse to play Fortnite.
Nice. It was work.
Yeah. And like next week I have two cases and memories. I can't like say I gotta play Fortnite for a couple hours to test this keyboard.
Well, you gotta check temperatures, right? In game temperatures with those cases.
Yeah, exactly, right? not a whole lot going on, but excited for those reviews coming next week, especially those cases, because that's one at CES where I was like, they're doing a good thing. They're putting out cases that are very affordable, that look good at the same time.
Yeah,
so
you don't see that often in the PC case market.
No, so I think Cooler Master is doing a great thing. But that is where we'll end up here, guys. As I always say, we have our full list of show notes that has links to everything that we talked about. So if we're talking about either a review or something in the news, you can click through and get even more information. And if you're looking for us to subscribe, it's on the podcast page, but you know, in all of your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.